So I wanted to speak about the celebration of Pesach during a pandemic, which was certainly last year, and to try to determine what lessons can we learn from that unusual occurrence. Now, a year ago, Pesach was observed amidst the angst of a COVID-19 pandemic. It was a frightening and lonely time. Jewish communities barred parents from visiting children and children from visiting parents. How did the pandemic affect the observance and celebration of Pesach? Of course, there were many practical issues to deal with. Plans had to be revamped at the last moment as people struggled to adapt to a new reality. But how about the mitzvahs of Leil Pesach? Were they affected, were they impacted by the unusual circumstances of the pandemic? Now, in terms of a mitzvah of matzah and maror, one can eat matzah and maror even if he's in solitude, even if he's alone. The mitzvah of matzah and maror was not impacted by the fact that there was a pandemic and people were separated from their children and some people were celebrating the Seder by themselves. But how about Simchas HaChag? How about the mitzvah of V'samachta V'chagecha? The mitzvah to experience Simcha on Yantav. How about celebrating the Simchas HaChag while in separation from family and friends? Doesn't that diminish the Simchas HaChag undoubtedly? The celebration together with family and friends enhances the Simchas HaChag. And how about those that celebrated Pesach by themselves? Is it possible that there is some formula that we could find that will teach us how to celebrate Simchas HaChag under unusual circumstances? Now, the Torah itself describes Simchas HaChag as a communal occasion shared with family and friends. V'samachta l'pnei Hashem Elokecha, ata uvincha uvitecha, va'avdecha va'amasecha, va'alevi asher b'sharecha, va'ager v'yason va'almanah asher b'kerbecha. Simchas HaChag is celebrated through a gathering of those that are close to us. Human interaction is an integral part of Simcha. Is there a formula for experiencing Simchas HaChag while one is separated from family and friends or even in solitude? Now, perhaps we can derive such a formula how does one achieve Simchas HaChag when one is separated from those that he is close to? Perhaps we can derive that a formula for that from another mitzvah of Leil Pesach, from the mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's a mitzvah on Leil Pesach to narrate in detail the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is the Maggid portions of the Haggadah. Now the Mishnah in the Seches Pesachim describes the mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The mitzvah has some very unique factors. The Kan HaBen Shoel, Manish Tano HaLaila Azeh Mikol Elos. At a certain point in the Haggadah, we proceed with the question that's asked by the child. The child asks the question, why is this night different? Why are we eating matzah? Why are we eating maror? The Mishnah is teaching us that there's a halachic requirement. There's a halachic requirement in Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We can't just narrate the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It has to be done by what is referred to as derech sheila u'tshuva. It has to be done in the form of a question and answer. There has to be a question. The question has to be, why are we carrying out these acts tonight? Why are we eating matzah? Why are we eating maror? Those are the questions that have to be asked. And then the sipur itself, the narration has to be a response to the question. And this is a very basic part of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Torah itself says, ki yashalcha bincha machar leimar. It has to be carried out in response to a question. And this is what the mission says. The Kan HaBen Shoel, the son asks, the son or the daughter asks, why do we eat matzah? Why do we eat marah? And ideally, the question should be asked by a young child, a child who does not yet know the answers to the question. That's the ideal form of Derech She'elu Tshuva. And that's why we try so hard to motivate the child to ask, to arouse his curiosity. The whole halacha of karpas, of the tivo of karpas, is in order to, as a hecker, and to show that this night is different, so that the child will, his curiosity will be aroused, and he'll ask, manish tana laila zemikol alelos. In the time of the Gemara, when they had small tables, they would remove the table so that the child would ask, why are we doing things differently? Today we have large tables, you can't move the table, so we move the ka'ara, we move the seder plate. This is all to arouse the curiosity of the younger children, so they should ask, because ideally the question should be asked by those that don't yet know the answer in a full way. That's the ideal way to mekayim the mitzvah, to fulfill the mitzvah of Sibud Yis Mitzrayim. Well, what does one do if there are no young children? What does one do if there are only adults? So the Gemara tells us, if there are only adults, then one adult asks the other adult. And in that way, you can be mekayim the mitzvah of Sibud Yis Mitzrayim. It's as if we imitate what a young child would do. What if nobody else is at the Seder? What if a person is eating the Seder, is celebrating the Seder by himself? So the Gemara tells us, Hu shoel la'atzmo. If there is no one else present, he asks himself. He asks the question. Manish tana alayla zemikol alos. He asks the question, and he answered the question. It's a very interesting mitzvah. It has to be carried out derech she'elo tshuva. And even if there's only one person present at the seder, so he asks the question himself. Hu shoel la'atzmo. We follow the same pattern as if there was a young child who was asking in a very sincere way. I don't understand. Manish tana halayla hazeh. Nikol Alelos. The Gemara is providing a formula for fulfilling the mitzvah Sifrit Yisrael without young children, separated from family and friends, and even in solitude. And we have to understand the significance of that. What's the significance of asking yourself a question and providing an answer? Why just not, if there's no one to ask, just start with the answer? What's the significance of asking the question, of discussing Yetzias Mitzrayim in that format? What is the significance of it? And perhaps this is the model for experiencing not only Sifrit Mitzrayim, but Simchas HaChag as well under difficult circumstances. So let's consider first the mitzvah of Simcha and its collective element. What is the mitzvah of Simcha? What are we trying to achieve? And what is the significance of the collective element of Simcha? Now, a crucial question to consider is what lasting consequence will Simcha generate? What will it generate for us? Will the problems facing Klal Yisrael disappear through our preoccupation with Simcha? How will an individual's worries and stresses be diminished by the pursuit of Simcha? There's an ancient question posed by Kohelas. Will the simcha mazo sa, and of joy, what does it accomplish? Is simcha but a fleeting experience that in the long term changes nothing and solves no problems? Is simcha but a temporary escape mechanism from life's complications and complexities? What are we achieving by simcha? And I believe that the Rambam addresses this issue in his typical fashion, with a precise phrasing of the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. The Rambam states in Hilchos Yom Tov, V'chayov adam lios b'hem sameach b'tov lev. A person has to be Sameach and Tov Lev. The Rambam defines the mitzvah of Simcha as Sameach and Tov Lev. One has to have joy, but he has to be Tov Lev. What does Tov Lev mean? It implies a certain emotion of Tov, of good within the heart. And the Torah itself mentions Tov Lev in a different context. In the Tochacha, Klal Yisrael is rebuked for not serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'simcha u'v'tuv levav, tachas asher lo avadito as Hashem Elokecha, v'simcha u'v'tuv levav. So the Torah stresses the significance of simcha and links it with tov lev. We also find in Divrei Hayomim, when the Navi describes the Chanukah space of Migdash in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, the Navi describes the simcha, the heights of simcha reached by the Jewish people. And the Navi says, "Uviyom esrimu shloshal lachodesh hashvi'i shilachas amlo alayam." So Shlomo HaMelech sent them home. Smechim v'tov elei. They were in a state of simcha and tov lei because of the building and the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash. So as they departed, they were in a state of simcha and tov lev. Apparently, simcha is not sufficient. It must generate tov levav to be meaningful. Tov lev defines the mitzvah of simcha. Simcha has to result in tov lev. What does tov lev mean? What does it mean? What is this all-important state of tov levav? What does it mean? So perhaps we can define what tov lev means from another place in Tanakh, where Tov Lev is linked to Simcha, but in negative context, about Haman, Vayetzei Haman Vayom Ahu Sameach B'Tov Lev. When Haman was invited by Esther to participate in her Mishteh with Ahasuerus, Haman, the Pasuk tells us in Megillas Esther, Haman was Sameach B'Tov Lev. What is the difference between Sameach and Tov Lev? So the Bir Hagron, Megillas Esther explains, that simcha means he experienced joy, and tov lev means he had no fear. The fact that he was invited, that assured him and made him confident that all his plans were to succeed. So apparently what we see is that tov lev refers to an optimistic spirit that removes fear from one's heart. And this was true in a negative context about Haman, but so too in a positive context with respect to Simchas Yom Tov. When there is a mitzvah of Itzamachta B'Chagecha, it has to be a simcha that generates enthusiasm and optimism. Now we have to find Tov Lev, but how do we achieve it? How does simcha generate enthusiasm and optimism? Do we generate enthusiasm and optimism just by enjoying the meals of Yontif, by enjoying the new clothes, by treating children to all sorts of delicious items that bring joy to their heart? Is that in itself sufficient to generate enthusiasm and optimism for ourselves? And perhaps we can resolve this by considering a Gemara in Masechet Sukkah. The Gemara is On the surface tells a very peculiar story relating to the theme of simcha. And the Gemara tells us, Hanu Tremine, Chad Shmei Sason, Chad Shmei Simcha. There were two heretics in that day. There were two heretics in that time. One's name was Sason, and one's name was Simcha. So Amalei Ahumina, the Shmei Sason, Rabbi Aval. So the heretic whose name was Sason, he said to one of the Amoraim, one of the giants of the generation, he said the following. He said, "Asidisu de tamalu li maya la alma de asi." In the future, you people, the Jewish people, are destined to draw water for me. In the future, you are all going to draw water for me. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Ushaftem mayim bisasam." So this heretic, whose name was Sason, he interpreted that to mean that we will all draw water for Sason. And Rav Avo responded to him and he said, "He have a ksiv lisasam kidaka amrit." If the pasuk would say "Ushafta mayim lisasam," you'll draw water for sasam, then you would be correct. But that's not what the pasuk says. Hashti d'chsiv b'sasam, you will draw water with sasam. What does it mean? It means mashkei dahu gavra mishavinan leguda umalinan beimaya. It means that we will take your skin and we will make it into a vessel, and with that vessel we will draw water. Now that's a peculiar response. What was Rabbi Avo saying to this heretic sasam? So there's a fascinating explanation of this Gemara by my uncle Rabbi Yosef Dosel of Eitzazat in the Sefer Drushos and Ksavim, which is a collection of the Rav's Yiddish drushes. The heretic sasam believed in the pagan ideology that the goal of life and religion is joy. Hanof and Levin, as we would say in Yiddish, comforts and pleasure. That's the goal of life. And Sasson claimed that the Pasuk supports this ideology. Ushafta mayim b'sasson, the guiding principle is joy. Religion does not ask of a person anything that interferes with joy or creates discomfort. Rav Avo answered this heretic very sharply. If the goal of Judaism is joy, the Pasuk would say, Ushafta mayim lisasam. We do it for that purpose. Everything should be done for the sake of joy. The Pasuk, however, states, Ushafta mayim bisasam. You will draw water with joy. Joy is not the objective. Joy is the means by which we strive to attain our goal. Joy is the vessel. It's the tool by which we strive to attain our goal. The goal is closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which entails character, perfection, dusha and chesed. That's the goal. Simcha is the vessel. It's the means by which we attain something of great spiritual value. Now, what does this imply? Does this imply that simcha has no intrinsic value? It is only a vessel and a tool to achieve a goal? The Torah itself stresses the value of simcha. That implies that simcha is a spiritual achievement. It's not just a tool. It's not just a vessel to attain character perfection, to attain closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Simcha is a spiritual value. And I think the answer is, and this is something I've derived, again, from the words of my uncle Zatzal, in the Sefer Shiurim Mezech Avamari, that it's the physical elements of simcha that are means to enable something on a higher level. When we speak of simcha, we could speak of the physical elements of simcha. Ein simcha elo basar v'yayin. One has to, we're human beings, we're physical beings. One requires physical means to enable simcha. So we rejoice with basar and yayin. One can rejoice through purchasing new clothes. One can bring joy to children in other ways. But that's not the essence of the mitzvah. The essence of the mitzvah is an internal joy. It's v'samachta lefnei Hashem Elokecha. It's to rejoice in the presence of God, and to feel the presence of God lefnei Hashem, and to derive simcha from that. The physical elements of simcha are tools, are vessels to enable us to attain the simcha lefnei Hashem. On Yontif, there's a mitzvah to appear in the Beis HaMikdash, because the essence of Yontif is lefnei Hashem. As my uncle Zatzal explains, and I'll repeat it just briefly, there's a basic difference between Yontif and Shabbos. Yontif, we are, so to speak, the guests of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're invited to his home. He invites us to the Beis HaMikdash. And even when there is no Beis HaMikdash, our home becomes transformed into a Beis Hashem. There's no prayers of Kabbalah Yontif. We don't recite prayers of Kabbalah Yontif. We recite prayers of Kabbalah Shabbos, because Shabbos is different. Shabbos, we kaviyachol, we invite the Shekhinah to our home. Kaviyachol, the Shekhinah is the guest, is the oreach in our home. So to welcome the guest, we recite the tefillahs of Kabbalah Shabbos. Yom Tov, we're invited to the Beis HaMikdash. We're invited to the Beis Hashem. And if there is no Beis Hashem, our homes, we have to imagine as if our homes are being transformed into Beis Hashem, and we prepare our homes in that way. And we are the ones that are invited. The Shekhinah greets us, welcomes us. We don't recite tefillahs of Kabbalah Shabbos. It's different from Shabbos. And that's why there's a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. There's a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov because in the home of the Shekhinah, in the home of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one has to feel joy. V'samachta lefnei Hashem Elokecha, as the Torah says, b'makom asher yivchar Hashem Elokecha l'shaken shemo sham, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose to set up his home, where his name will reside, that's where we will achieve, we should rejoice. The simcha is a simcha of feeling the closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the simcha. The physical elements are tools to enable us to feel that simcha of Nefnei Hashem. The essence of Simcha Sachai is the spiritual joy we feel through the experience of Nefnei Hashem. And it's interesting to note that the Torah tells us that when we rejoice on Yom Tov, you have to include others in your simcha. You have to include the unfortunate ones of the community, those that don't have the means to celebrate themselves. This is what the Torah says. V'samachta lefnei Hashem Elokecha, ato uvincha uvitecha v'avdecha v'amasecha, v'alevi asher b'sharecha, v'ager v'yasom v'almana asher b'kavecha. There can't be Simchas Yom Tov without including, without being concerned about the unfortunate members of the community. Why? Why is that so? It's so because the Simcha of Yom Tov ultimately is a Simcha of feeling the joy of Nei Hashem. Can there be a Simcha of Nei Hashem if we're only concerned about our own joy and not about the other members of the community? The Rambam mentions this in Hilchos Yom Tov. And he says, Misha Noel Vlosos Hatsero, V'Ochel Vishosa, Hu Abona V'Ishto, someone who closes his doors and he eats with his immediate family. V'Eino Machil Umashke La'aniyam Ulomari Nefesh, he doesn't provide for the poor and those that are embittered by life's experiences. Eino Simchas Mitzvah, he doesn't have a mitzvah simcha. Ela Simchas Kreso, the only simcha he has, the simcha of his stomach, not the simcha zachar. It's interesting to note on Purim when the Rambam speaks about the mitzvah of Matanas Levionim, and the Rambam says that's the greatest simcha. The Rambam says, She'ein sham simcha gdola umufu'ara. There's no great and glorious simcha. El sameach lev aniyam v'yisomim v'almonos v'gerim. That's the greatest and most glorious simcha. One who brings joy to the hearts of these individuals, he is emulating the attributes of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in that way, he achieves simcha. And why is that so? That's because the goal of simcha is not the physical elements of simcha. The goal of simcha is the simcha of Nei Hashem. And to achieve that, we certainly have to include in our simcha other members of the community. And I think it's worthwhile to consider in this light the universal Ashkenazic practice to recite Yizkor on the last day of Yom Tov. Superficially, this practice seems quite strange. At the apex of our simcha, we engage in that which evokes sadness and even tears. Why do we recite Yizkor on Yom Tov? On Yom Kippurim, we understand why Yizkor belongs in Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippurim. But on Yom Tov, why is Yom Tov the proper place for Yizkor? Yom Tov is a time of simcha. However, if we consider the essence and the goal of simcha, to be simcha l'fnei Hashem, Yizkor does not contradict simcha, it actually enhances it. Can one actually experience l'fnei Hashem without remembering parents? Can we experience l'fnei Hashem without remembering those that raised us? It is our parents that form our link to the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael. to Matan Torah and Yetzias Mitzrayim. Is the memory of those that are close to us that inspires us and enables us to feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yizkor certainly is appropriate on Yom Kippur. It may evoke sadness, but at the same time, it also enables us to achieve the simple of Hashem. The privilege of celebrating Yom Kippur with parents facilitates the experience of Hashem. Our parents are our connection to Yetzias Mitzrayim and Torah. Our parents are the partners of the Almighty in granting us life and raising us. How can we experience the Hashem without thinking about our parents or other members of our family that we were close to? So even if one does not celebrate Yom Kippur with parents, because parents are no longer alive, it's the remembrance of our parents that enables us to feel the Lifnei Hashem experience and enhances the simcha of that experience. We recite Yizkor on Yom Kippur, even though it evokes sadness, because it will actually enhance the simcha of the Lifnei Hashem. Now the simcha of Chag HaPesach emanates from our awareness of the special relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Kol Yisrael. Chag HaPesach reflects our joy over the birth of Kol Yisrael as a nation. And therefore, that simcha, if we understand what simcha means, if we understand that simcha is the simcha of Lifnei Hashem, so we understand that a simcha of that sort should imbue within us an optimistic spirit concerning our abilities to accomplish spiritually for ourselves, for our families, and for our community. The simcha is a simple fashion. If we feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we have to be optimistic and enthusiastic about the destiny of the Jewish people and our ability to participate in that destiny. On Yom Tov, we're the recipients of a divine invitation to visit the Beis Hashem and to rejoice with the presence of the Shekhinah. This invitation should encourage us and infuse spiritual enthusiasm within our souls. Simcha may not solve life's problems, but simcha enables us to cope with life's problems. Spiritual simcha instills confidence, hopefulness, and optimism. In the days of Shlomo HaMelech, so Klal Yisrael celebrated the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash. They rejoiced and they departed, smechem v'tov elei. They were full of optimism and enthusiasm. As we approach Chag HaPesach, we too are invited to the Beis Hashem on a certain level. Unfortunately, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but every home will be transformed into Beis Hashem, and we will have the opportunity to rejoice in the presence of the Shekhinah. When we depart the Beis Hashem of Chag HaPesach, let us leave as the Jews did in the day of Shlomo HaMelech, smeichim v'tov elev, hopeful, enthusiastic, and optimistic about our abilities to accomplish spiritually for ourselves, for our families, and for Klal Yisrael. To return to the original question that I asked, how does one achieve Simchas HaChag separated from family and friends or in solitude? I would suggest that the V'gadata L'Bincha experience of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is also a crucial element in the Simchas HaChag of Pesach, and a model for achieving the Simcha Lifnei Hashem. If we analyze the halachos of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, I think we can understand how to achieve Simcha HaChag under all circumstances. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim has to be Derech Sheila Tshuva, as we pointed out. It's not just a narration of events. It is a Mesorah. It is Derech Sheila Tshuva. It is a transmission of emunah and commitment from generation to generation. That's the message of Derech Sheila U'Tshuva. a child asks a question and the older generation responds. Ideally, it should be a young child who's not fully aware of all the events of Yetzirah Mitzrayim, who doesn't know all the halachas of Leil Pesach. Why? Because we want to convey the idea that it's our responsibility to transmit amunah from generation to generation. A child asks Mamish Tana, and the older generation responds. What does one do if there is no young child present? What does one do if he is alone? The Gemara tells us, who shoi la atzmo? He asks himself. We act as if there was a need to ask a question to demonstrate our commitment to the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael. If a person is alone, he asks the question, Manish tana halayla hazeh, mikol halelos. And he answers, Avodim ayinu, mitfila ovde avodazari avodaseinu, v'achshav kavana mato hadasa. Why is that so? This implies that even if one is alone, he must realize that he's only physically alone. Every Jew and Jewess is an important link in the Mesorah of the Jewish people. Every individual has something unique to add to the Mesorah. A person who is alone recites the Haggadah as if he was together with the previous generation and he's asking the question of the previous generation and repeating the response of the previous generation. And he recites the Haggadah as if he is a member of the younger generation who's asking the older generation, and he gives the response as a member of the older generation. The mitzvah of Sivut Yisrael conveys the obligation and responsibility of transmitting the Mesorah of Amuna throughout the generation. And yes, ideally, Pesach should be celebrated in the company of others. This is the ideal form of Sivut Yisrael and the ideal form of Simcha Sachar. But the essence of Simcha is Simcha Lefnei Hashem. And the formula of the Imlav, if someone is without any other people, who show Ela Atzma, is how we respond to difficult circumstances. It is our commitment to the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael that enables us to experience Lefnei Hashem. And it is our part in the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael that generates spiritual enthusiasm. The inspiration we derive from our forebears strengthens us, and our faith in the young generation provides optimism. The Torah tells us why, in the days of Avraham Avinu, why did the HaKadosh Baruch Hu establish a special relationship with Avraham Avinu? Why? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrate so much love for Avraham Avinu? Because Avraham Avinu believed in the concept of Mesorah, a transmission of beliefs and values. Ki yedate b'laman ha'ish yitzava as bona v'ez beso achor, v'shamru derech Hashem lasos tachor mishpat. It is the Mesorah that is the foundation of the strength of the Jewish people, and the process of Sivut Yisrael expresses our commitment to the Mesorah, to the Mesorah of Amunah and Jewish values. And this is what gives us strength, and this is what enables us to experience the Simcha Lefnei Hashem. And this is what generates optimism and enthusiasm that about our abilities to bring about the ultimate destiny of the Jewish people. Now, I mentioned the fact that it is our parents, our forebears, that provide us with strength. So in that light, I would like to say something about my father, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. My father suffered a debilitating stroke at the age of 66. His neurologist, Dr. John McMahon, told me years later that any other person suffering such a stroke would have spent the rest of his life in a rocking chair. But my father would not be discouraged. He was full of spiritual optimism and enthusiasm. In addition to his regular shiurim in Chicago, he traveled weekly to New York to deliver additional shiurim for close to 20 years. Now, a few days after the stroke, as my father was lying in a hospital bed, partially paralyzed, my family observed that my father was struggling to write. He didn't have control over his left side, so he was struggling to write with his right hand. To our amazement, he informed us that he was writing an article about how the stroke experience enabled him to sense the existence of the soul. He felt that this experience enabled him to feel in a physical way that there is a soul, that there is a soul that is distinct and separate from the body. Here are a few quotations from my father's article that was later published in the fall 1984 issue of Tradition. I'm quoting, "As a religious person, I have always believed in the existence of a soul extraneous to the body. Until last Sunday evening, however, my belief in the existence of a soul extraneous to the body had been grounded in Amunah. It was not something that I could perceive through the senses. The stroke that afflicted me wrought a spiritual metamorphosis in my whole Weltanschauung and my whole outlook on life. As of Sunday evening, my belief in the existence of a soul extraneous to the body is not only based upon a religious orientation, but is something that I'm perceiving through my physical senses as a biological sensation. As a result of the numbness wrought by the stroke in the left side of my body, I am under the impact of a sensation that the left side of my body is completely detached from me and that I am only the carrier of my left leg, of my left arm, of my left shoulder, etc. I know that this sounds irrational. However, I cannot refrain from giving vent to my feelings and my sensations. Every time I raise my left arm, my left leg, I feel a biological sensation analogous to the sensation I would perceive prior to the stroke whenever I picked up a heavy child. It is as if I had been completely detached, my leg, left leg and my left arm. The fact that I am now constantly under the impact of a biological sensation of carrying a foreign detached object consisting of the left side of my body corroborates the proposition that the human soul is a separate entity having an identity of its own and extraneous to the body. Only the cosmic artist has made a harmonious blend and synthesis of the body and the soul in such a well-integrated pattern that empirically the soul appears to be immanent in the body. This is why a person in good health never perceives the biological sensation of being the carrier of the various organs of his or her body. The reason is that in a normal person, the body and soul are synthesized and integrated in such a beautiful and well-integrated pattern that for all practical purposes, the soul appears to be immanent in the body," end quote. This was part of my father's article. This was part of the spiritual message that he derived from suffering a stroke, lying in a hospital bed, partially paralyzed. The stroke was a means to spiritual elevation. Now, Dr. John McMahon, my father's neurologist, was deeply moved by my father's article, and he submitted his comments on my father's article. And they were printed in Tradition as well in 1984. Among his comments was the following remarkable thought: of the deep spirituality that informs and indeed motivates the work, I can only express humble appreciation that it enables the author to derive from the sufferings of an illness still greater insight, wisdom, and understanding is obvious from the text. A non-medical reader may find the fact unremarkable. This practicing physician finds it otherwise. For the deep strength and resources to do so are rarely in evidence during bedside rounds. And for all that physicians can now accomplish, we cannot effectively prescribe for the wellsprings of the soul, whence comes the skill to bring goodness from the adversity of disease," end quote. How true are Dr. McMahon's words? Despite the great achievements of medical science, doctors can only prescribe for the physical body. Doctors cannot prescribe for the soul. The Torah, however, prescribes from the soul. What is this prescription? The samachta lefnei Hashem Elokecha, to rejoice with our awareness of the presence of the Shekhinah, This is the prescription for the wellsprings of the soul that provides us with optimism and enthusiasm, whence comes the skill to bring goodness from adversity. The world at large, and specifically the Jewish community, has endured a year of adversity. How do we maintain a spirit of optimism about the future? It is Simchas HaChag in its highest form, the Samach Be'ofnei Hashem Elokecha, that prescribes for the wellness of the soul. It is the Samach Be'ofnei Hashem Elokecha that provides us with spiritual optimism and the skill to bring goodness from adversity. Thank you all for joining. I wish you all a Chakosher B'Sameach.
Rabbi Soloveitchik, thank you very much for your thought-provoking, inspiring words, stories. It was truly a meaningful evening, and your words meant so much. Thank you, Michael, for your words as well regarding your role with Lander College for Men. And thank you, everyone, for joining us this evening. As a reminder, we will wrap up the series on Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Rabbi Dr. Moshe Sokol, Dean of Lander College for Men, will be presenting. The topic is Shetlach at the Seder Night, How Jews Tell the Story of Pesach. So we hope we will see everyone on Sunday night. Thank you very much for joining us again. Have a wonderful week and an early Shabbat Shalom.